Don, I love our music people. Thank you. And for the record, Howard looks very classy casual, very stylish. I would like to apologize to Amy for messing up that question about ticket prices. The short answer is ask Claudia, because I don't retain numbers even a little bit. It is not my comfort zone. And one thing I've always wondered is, why does God do that? Why does he wire us a certain way, and then he pushes us out of those zones? And when Don asked me to do this, I said, I never took a lesson in sermon crafting, and all I can do is me. And then I thought, whether we know it or not, every one of us, every day of our lives, is in our own private school of the Holy Ghost. My spiritual homework list is long. There is much I want yet to learn. There is much I need to get better at. But in the last couple of years, I've been shown the difference between happiness and joy. And up until then, I pretty much used those terms interchangeably. Happiness is wonderful. It's thrilling. Visits with my grandchildren are filled with happy moments. Bring them on. I can't get enough of them. But they are just that. They are moments. I have learned that joy is very different, more complex. It has two very different faces. But both of those faces are infused with the unmistakable presence of God. I think in Acts, Paul perfectly demonstrates what I call the grim side of joy. He and Silas are in prison. I had read an historical piece which said the sewers of the city ran through their dungeon. So when they were praising God and singing hymns, they were probably waiting around in sewage. So he is, to me, the perfect model of joy in, if not for, all circumstances. I felt in my own dungeon several years ago. It's been some years now, but I remember sitting in a darkened room in my home, and it was so early that even the rest of the house wasn't awake. And I felt very hopeless. Some sudden trouble was threatening to overwhelm me, and I prayed to God that I could not see a way out of this. I had no strength left. He would have to carry me through it. And when I prayed that total prayer of surrender, a calm peace and assurance came over me. Now, that didn't mean my trouble went away. It didn't mean I wouldn't still have some fire to walk through. But it did mean that I knew he had my back and that he would see me through to the other side. And that confidence, that joy, took me through some pretty tough times. It was something that I knew I could always draw on. The other face of joy can come expectedly and unexpectedly. Now, I expected to be thrilled at the birth of my grandchildren, and of course I was. Circumstance and geography, I saw all of them soon, but not immediately, except for my granddaughter. I held her within hours of her being born, and I knew I was holding a miracle. I thought, how can all these little parts work so perfectly to sustain this little life? And when I looked at her sleeping face, I thought of that legend that many of you probably have heard of about the cleft just above our lip. And it said that just before you're born, an angel lays its finger there and says, shh, remember where you came from. And she was so new that I could almost imagine feeling that angel's breath. And I felt such a thrill of contentment and a tingling and a joy. And I remember saying to my son, I could sit here forever. This just does not get any better. The unexpected aspect of joy came to me about a year ago. And I am a very scheduled person, maybe too scheduled sometimes. But if I'm going to run an errand after work, I generally plan it because I love getting home. I just love getting home after work. But this particular night, I was so restless, inexplicably restless. It just wasn't my norm. And I just needed something between work and home. And if you want to rub elbows with humanity, Walmart never disappoints. Never. So there were two I could have chosen. I picked the one. I don't grocery shop there, but I needed to look for a specific item, and I looked. I didn't find it, but that took up more time. Why did I pick the checkout line I did? I don't know. But it brought me to a place in time between two young men, and I have to set the stage. They were two young black men. The one closest to me was about in his 20s. The other was a teenager. There is no one who can put on a distracted, detached look like a teenager. It is like, it's a gift of the age. And I had just come from work, so to them, I could not have looked any more bright, white, old, or establishment. There was just nothing that they would have thought could connect us. I had time to notice that they were using a SNAP card, a food card, and then I did what I always do when I'm waiting my turn. My mind kind of drifted off to other things. I think instinctively it must have been taking longer than I thought it should, because when I came back to the present, the very first thing I saw was the checkout girl putting their milk to the side. And inside my brain screamed the words, "No, that's wrong." And the next words in my head were mine going, "What the hmm was that?" And then the next words were, "What do you care? You're not rich. That's not your fault they don't have enough money." When I chose to push past that third voice, something else took over and carried me along. Now, I would not normally turn to someone who I knew didn't have enough money and say, "Do you have enough money?" The response might not be too positive, but without hesitation, that is exactly what I did. I turned to this young man and I said, "You don't have enough." And I could just see his whole body stiffen. It's like he was bracing himself for the social responsibility or holding up the line speech or whatever he thought I was going to assault him with. And he just threw very, I'm surprised he didn't cuss me out, but he didn't. He just got very tight-lipped and he said, "No, I don't have enough." So I turned to the girl and I said, "I'll take care of it." And she said, "On your bill." I went like this, and it was done. She was so young, but she was so conscious of their dignity that I don't think anybody knew what was going on except maybe the woman behind me, maybe. Now, you don't expect thanks. First of all, it's the wrong motivation. Secondly, you're probably not going to get it. But this young man could not thank me enough. I mean, I almost had to escort him out the door. And the teenager, that teenage look, that was gone. His little eyes almost fell out of his head. When they were gone, the checkout girl said to me, "I wish more people were like that." And I said, "Honey, I'm not. I'm not always. I have been behind people who've had to put things back. I've never felt compelled to do anything about it." But that day I was. Now, I thought my bill was a little high, but I thought, well, I'll check it when I get to my car. So as I sat alone in my car, I started to laugh, and I thought, no wonder they were grateful. When I said I'll take care of it, I meant the milk. And they thought I meant everything their card couldn't cover, which was all of $12, big deal. But then I stopped laughing. Because I had paid for their purchases, I had their purchases. And it was cornmeal, cereal, vegetable oil, and milk. Not exactly a bachelor list. And as I sat there alone in my car, I knew with every fiber of my being that there was nothing random about me being there that day, that I'd been given an assignment and that I hadn't blown it. And that sense of divine partnership filled me with such a spiritual rush that I can only describe as joy. And I thought, I want this again. I want to feel this again. I don't want to miss these opportunities. And I've always hoped that another seed was planted that day, because obviously these young men's life isn't easy. And I'm hoping that someday when things seem hopeless, they'll think about the day that crazy woman bought their groceries, and they'll think that maybe something crazy good can happen again. I said at the beginning that we're all kind of wired in a certain way. Well, I have a friend who, when someone says something irritating, she gets all philosophical and, "Oh, isn't that interesting? I wonder why they said that." I have to tell you, that is not my go-to response. I read something recently that perfectly describes me. It said, I need a speed bump between my mind and my mouth. Particularly when someone is dissing God, it like he needs my, you know, defense. But then I read something which really intrigued me, and it said, instead of instructing people, invite them to explore, maybe with some personal testimony. And I thought, the next time I have that opportunity, I will try that approach, but with one caution, one huge caution. If you are going to walk that path, if you are going to invite God into your life, if you are going to open yourself to his creativity, you had better, without fail, hang on for the ride. Amen.